Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Mary Jane. Come here, Bob. Come here. Come on. Oh, yeah. Test the mic. All right. Yeah, we'll keep you here. Let's see if we can get set up right. You're good. Oh, watch out. Oh, watch out. You're good. Oh, no. Welcome to In the Jar, where a friendly face ain't far. And today, we ain't gonna have a cigar. Because it's early in the morning. I don't want one. Alright. So, last night, I picked up a copy of this book right here, Almanac of Naval. And it's been a minute since I read it. So, I kind of just, before bed last night, flipped to a random page. And I thought there was some good juice. So let's see what we can pull out of here. So this is Naval on meditation. When your mind quiets, you stop taking everything around you for granted. You start to notice the details. You think, wow, I live in a beautiful place. It's so great that I have clothes. And I can go to Starbucks and get a coffee anytime. Look at these people. Each one has a perfectly valid and complete life going on in their own heads. Meditation pops us out of the story we're constantly telling ourselves. If you stop talking to yourself for even 10 minutes, if you stop obsessing over your own story, you'll realize we are really far up Maslow's hierarchy of needs and life is pretty good. For your entire life, things have been happening to you. Some good, some bad, most of which you have processed and dissolved, but a few stuck with you. Over time, more and more stuck with you, and they almost become like these barnacles stuck to you. You lost your childhood sense of wonder and of being present and happy. You lost your inner happiness because you built up this personality of unresolved pain, errors, fears, and desires that glommed onto you like a bunch of barnacles. How do you get these barnacles off of you? What happens in meditation is you're sitting there and not resisting your mind. These things will start bubbling up. It's like a giant inbox of unanswered emails going back to your childhood. They will come out one by one and you'll be forced to deal with them. You'll be forced to resolve them. Resolving them doesn't take any work, you just observe them. Now you're an adult with some distance, time, and space from previous events. And you can just resolve them. You can be much more objective about how you view them. So over time, you'll resolve a lot of these deep-seated, unresolved things you have in your mind. Once they're resolved, there will come a day when you sit down to meditate and you'll hit a mental inbox zero. When you open your mental email, and there are none, this is a pretty amazing feeling. That's a better way I can put it, and I read that last night and thought to myself, damn, I got to share this, because there are a lot of folks in my life who, you know, I've been suggesting meditation for a long time, man, and it's very rare. I think it's very rare to find somebody with a regular meditation practice. We talked about it last week, but Aaron Rodgers was on someone's podcast talking about how he had a friend who was a monk, and He said his monk friend journaled every single habit down to brushing his teeth on a daily basis. And it kind of helps him, Aaron Rodgers' monk friend, right? I wish I knew the guy's name. It helps him get real with himself and say, okay, you know, I say I'm a meditator, but, you know, I only meditated 4 or 5 times this month. So am I really a meditator? And it's just the best tool there is. Meditation, cold exposure, a little bit of writing in the morning to get your mind even clearer. And, you know, that's what we've been rocking with. And, you know, my formula ain't the cure-all, but, you know, it's really helped me. And so I feel compelled to share that with people. And Naval put that better than I probably could. So wanted to share that. Okay, on to the next deal. So we've been reading James Clear the last couple of weeks, and I subscribe to an email newsletter that is also very good that I haven't shared yet called Farnham Street. So it's from Farnham Street. It's called Brain Food. And this is a live reading. I have not read this yet. So here we go. These are quotes, insights, tiny thoughts. Not all writing is worth reading. Just because someone can put words on a page doesn't mean they're worth reading or add value. So I've heard this a lot lately. People get burnt out on reading because they don't like the book and they keep trying to power through it. And I think it's a really good practice. And, you know, myself included, I can be real hard on myself if I don't finish something. I hate quitting. It's a mistake I'll never make again. And, you know, you kind of got to give yourself some grace with reading and be like, okay, is this worth my time, right? It's not really resonating with me. It doesn't really seem worth my time. You know, move on to the next deal. I personally read about 5 or 6 books at one time, audiobooks included. And yes, it takes me like 5 or 6 months to finish all of them. But if I just get my 10 pages a day reading whatever I want, I've found that that's a pretty good routine. Insights. Writing is nature's way of telling us how lousy our thinking is. This is good. When I'm journaling in the morning, it's hard, like it takes a long time to really let yourself just put whatever onto the page. Because there are some thoughts that come across where you're like, ah, I don't want that to reflect who I am. That's normal, right? But the beneficial thing that you find in just stream of consciousness, no filter, just throwing out 2 pages handwritten in a morning is a lot of the things that are on your mind that are really getting at you, at least for me, once I put them on paper, I read it back sometimes. And I'll just be like, dude, like, that's fucking preposterous. Why would I think that? I don't know what that effect is. Obviously, it's nature's way of telling us how lousy our thinking is. And I think the more we realize that we don't know, the more that we realize I don't know what I don't know, that's when things start to become fun. That's when you can kind of free your mind up and say, okay, I don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. I don't have to know everything. And in my industry, as an investment advisor, when I'm meeting with people from a household, there's a lot of complexities. I'll get questions where I don't know the answer, and I've seen countless advisors try to bullshit their way into putting a word sandwich together that sounds like a good explanation. And the sad thing is that most of the time, I've seen it with my own eyes, the clients believe it. But eventually, that house is going to come down. Eventually, those chickens are going to come home to roost. And after months, years of a relationship with a client, they're going to start to see through their bullshit. People aren't dumb. They can smell bullshit. I've been cold calling every day to try to build my business out here in Phoenix. And if I'm on some bullshit, like, I'll get hung up on. You know, it's just what it is. And then, you know, you assess, you move forward, you're like, how can I be a real human being while also being buttoned up and professional and saying what, you know, needs to be said in order to hopefully help this person? So the short answer to that is honesty and just saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know everything. Let me get back to you on that. All right. I think one thing that is a really important thing to strive, this is Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI. So ChatGPT, all that, this is the father of that. Well, he came over from Microsoft, I think, or they're doing business with Microsoft. I don't know everything. I think one thing that is a really important thing to strive for is being internally driven, being driven to compete with yourself, not with other people. If you compete with other people, you end up in this mimetic, don't know what that means, trap, and you sort of play this tournament. And if you win, you lose. But if you're competing with yourself and all you're trying to do is for the own self-satisfaction and for also the impact you have on the world and the duty you feel to do that, it's a word sandwich. Be the best possible version you can. There is no limit to how far that can drive someone to perform. So I think the short synopsis of that is, like, don't compare yourself to others, right? We're doing this pod. We're having a good-ass time. It's a labor of love, but we're not making any money off of this thing yet. Do we expect to? Absolutely, at some point. But if I find myself still comparing to other shows that might be similar and are doing better. And for me personally, this is just my own experience. That is the biggest creative hamper that could possibly exist. I don't care what anyone says. I think it was Theodore Roosevelt, comparison is the thief of joy. I feel like that quote's becoming cliche, but it still holds true. Michael Jordan, Kobe, who else? Brady. All of these goats in sports. Sports is what I watched growing up. So the best guys in sports are people that I model my mentality, try to model my mentality after. They all are just trying to be better than they were, trying to be better today than they were yesterday. They're not worried about what, you know, someone else is doing. You know, you might see a person that's doing something, you say, oh man, maybe I can implement that. Maybe I can throw that into my daily routine. And that's been my story with, you know, the guys running the gym over at Red Hawk Academy, you know, Sean O'Malley and Tim Welch. I've completely restructured my daily routine based on what those guys do. I'm not comparing my progress to them, you know, but just little pointers here and there. It's not comparing. It's just, oh, I'm optimizing this. This is how I can optimize that. And it's really changed my freaking life. I don't know if those guys know how much they have had an impact in improving my life and probably many others. All right, here's a quote from Charlie Munger. It's good to learn from your mistakes. It's better to learn from other people's mistakes. There you go. But it's also harder, because experience is the best teacher. Sometimes you can't learn something until you feel the pain of a mistake in your own experience. But the quicker, fast track, optimal way, I guess, is to see, oh, somebody else fucked up there. All right, I can change this. I'm trying to do that with my brother, who's helping us cold call, trying to get some appointments here in Phoenix for our investment advisory practice. And, you know, I tell him, I'm like, dude, I've been, you know, cold calling people to some extent for about 5 years now. Here's what I learned. Here's how I fucked up at times. And, you know, I'm trying to save you from making the same mistakes so you can get along quicker and further than I did or have. All right, tiny thoughts, and then we will move on to an article that caught my eye. Also going to be a live read. All right, if you want to get rich quickly, the biggest factor is luck. Okay. If you want to get rich eventually, the biggest factor is consistency. So, and I guess it's broken up because there's two asterisks in between each paragraph break. Consistency is so simple. It's so hard. I still battle with it in some areas of my life. I'm trying to be up at The eventual goal is 5 a.m., but sleep consistency is a factor. I can't just cold turkey start waking up way earlier than I've been, because according to this Whoop, sleep consistency is a big factor. What time you go, you got to go to bed at the same similar time. You got to wake up at a similar time every day in order to get really the best quality sleep. So I'm trying to dial back my wake time 15 minutes every 3 days. And then a Friday night comes along. Last night, I get to bed too late. Don't really sleep great. And I get up and you just kind of got to, you know, keep rolling with it. Jiu-jitsu, you know, that's something that I haven't been consistent with. I've been consistent for a couple years now, training with the MMA team.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Team over at Red Hawk, and it's just been really that's my team. Those are my guys. So I'm always trying to be there on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and it's been kind of hard getting over that hump and adding to that regimen, showing up on a Monday, showing up on a Wednesday, you know, and getting in some jiu-jitsu classes. So, you know, those are kind of my two challenges on consistency right now. But life's all about challenges and figuring them out. So that's why we wake up each day. All right. Long-term thinking eliminates a lot of poor behavior. That's a good one. It kind of eliminates that animal brain and saying like, higher thinking. Is this going to help me down the road? Yes. No. Again, simple, but not easy. And then the last one here. Writing about one problem often exposes others that are more important. So I think I see a tone here. Journaling is very important, especially in the morning. And it's very simple, but it's much harder than you think. Even, you know, I miss days still. I'd like to think more often than not I don't, but I still miss days. And normally the days that you want to do it the least are the days where it can help you the most. I'm talking writing, cold plunge, meditating, working out. So that's the ironic part of life. And I think nature's just set up that way. I think God just made it that way. Praise God. So yeah, there's Farnham Street. Let's get to this article. I saw an article about the Arizona, well, now Salt Lake, Utah. So everything you need to know, and this is a live reading, everything you need to know about the Coyotes' second chance at NHL life. Following a $1.2 billion sale, the entire franchise as we know it, save for the name, is headed to Salt Lake City next season. Okay. Trying to distill this for y'all. Jesus. The eventual $1.2 billion sale to the Utah Jazz owner Ryan Smith put Coyotes owner Alex Morello on the clock. He now has 5 years to do it he's been unable to do over the past 5 years, build an NHL-suitable arena in the Phoenix area that would allow the franchise to restart as an expansion team. I am the only one that can get this project done, Morello said during a Phoenix area radio appearance. April 18th. Well, shit, I ain't caught a fish in about 3 damn years, but I'm the only one in the Phoenix area. Sorry, I ain't caught a fish in the last 5 years, but I'm the only one in the Phoenix area that can get that done. I'm the only one that can catch a damn fish. I mean, this guy, the bullshit he spews, man. I work for this man, you know. But there are serious doubts that Morrell will be able to follow through on that promise. A lot of promises that man ain't followed through on, and I can tell you that. And there are several serious roadblocks where the NHL reenters a market that has seen far more tumult than success during the Coyotes' 28-year run in the region. All right. Almost everything but the name Coyotes, which Morello retained as part of a sale worked out by the NHL, is now owned by Smith, who has become a brash, quick-moving Mark Cuban-esque figure in Utah. He's a majority owner of the Jazz. Yeah, you guys know all this. To restart the franchise using the name he retained, Morello will have to pay back the $1 billion he received in the sale. Total sale was $1.2 billion. The $200 million difference was dispersed among NHL owners. But Front Office Sports previously reported that Morello netted only about $400 million when annual losses and debt were factored in. I'm sure that guy is a great personal finance dude. You know what I mean? I'm hating. You know, maybe he's good. The Coyotes declined to provide comment for this story. Surprise, surprise. And I'm literally repping right now. I just noticed. It pisses me off, man. Phoenix deserves good hockey. That's the end of the story. Phoenix deserves a good hockey team. There are great fans here. Many of them are my clients. I talked to hundreds of them over my year working there. Phoenix deserves it. These people care. They love it. Something like this ever happened in pro sports? How did we even get here? I mean, why didn't the arena votes go the Coyotes' way? I'm interested to read this. And again, this is a live reading. When they were announced, the three ballot propositions in Tempe seemed to have enough support to pass the $2.1 billion proposal, which included a 16,000-seat arena, was almost entirely privately funded, minus $220 million in Tempe-backed bonds to remediate the 46-acre former landfill site. Coyotes and many Tempe city leaders pushed voters to vote yes on the three propositions, 301, which is changing the city's general plan so the land can be used for an arena and entertainment district, 302, the rezoning of the property, and 303, giving the Coyotes the right to develop the property. But the Coyotes' yes side soon found itself losing public support as opponents, via signage and mailers, got their messages out to Tempe voters quicker and more regularly. Union spent nearly $500,000 on the No campaign, an amount seemingly dwarfed by the $7 million Morello claims was committed to getting the measures passed. Bullshit. Morello says this: I personally went door-to-door knocking on over 1,000 doors over a 30-day period. Where's the proof, brother? Alongside NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman at an April 19th news conference, not only did I canvas, it's in brackets, my family did that, and all the executive team did that. We were face-to-face with everybody. I did everything I possibly humanly could do to win. Tell me this, Alex Morello. I was an employee of yours for an entire calendar year, and I didn't lay eyes on you as an employee of your organization. So you're telling me that y'all were face-to-face with everybody. Y'all weren't face-to-face with me. Think about that. But there are reasons to doubt how much Morello spent to get those ballot measures passed and how hands-on he was in the weeks before the May 16, 2023 election. According to public records, the Morello-backed Tempe wins PAC spent only $1.1 million. Don't know what that means. Something Tempe Councilman Randy Keating called out on X the same day as that news conference. He overpromised and underdelivered on the referendums, Keating told Front Office Sports. This guy was willing to talk to him. Right? Share his story, because he doesn't have anything to hide. I didn't see him at all. I only talked to him once. I saw Coyotes president Javier Gutierrez a lot more. As far as visibility goes, he wasn't really part of the campaign. None of these ballot measures received more than 44% of the vote and pressure from NHL owners and NHL Players Association on Bettman began to mount. Here's the deal, man. If we get a hockey team back in Phoenix, this guy can't own the team. Alex Morello cannot own the Arizona Coyotes if they come back to Phoenix. That is just the fact of the matter. He's a bullshitter. I want to call him a liar, but I've never met the man in person, so I'm not going to speak on his name that way. But I worked for him for a year, and I didn't see his face one time. All I heard was a story about him at an annual team party, which I didn't attend, busting through the doors. He was apparently in some powdered donuts on his freaking nose, had a booger hanging out. And he's raising hell, screaming, saying, Tempe! Tempe! Sounds like you're overpromising and under-delivering, brother. All right, I got a chip on my shoulder about that. I just want the Phoenix hockey fans to have an organization that they can rely upon. That's all I care about. All right, on to the next deal. So we're going to get into the clips. We're going to get into the news from the week. We got some NFL news, but I posted a clip on Twitter a couple days ago that kind of resonated with the Bengals community, started a discussion, wanted to kind of recap that, and so we'll kick it off here. It's been years and decades of suffering for fans like me with the Bengals, and it's clear that they don't really communicate with their most valuable players. It's the reason DJ Reader signed with Detroit. He said, you know, why'd you sign with the Lions? Well, it's because the Bengals weren't really talking to me about renewing my contract. And what can you do? They're not communicating with you. And the reason that Trey Hendrickson has requested a trade is because they're not communicating with him. So what are we doing? You're not talking to your most valuable players, third in sacks in the last 2 or 3 years in the league? Do you just, like, not care? Okay, so I posted that on X. A couple of accounts started responding. And I might have missed some facts on the situation. We'll get into that a little more. But the one mildly negative comment I got was from a buddy named, he's not a buddy yet, but he will be. His name's Mike. Mike R. Soul, Big Mike. And he was going to call into the show today, but he was working a graveyard shift or something last night. So hopefully we can get him on, dial him in, and maybe some other Bengals fans will start some Bengals discourse. But he said, this is why our voices are needed, so we can correct the wrong with facts. And I was like, damn, like, how was I wrong? I could be. I don't know. And so I said, Mike Kerr, come on the show to discuss. We tweeted back and forth, tried to set something up. But hopefully we can get Mike to dial in. He said he's interested in starting a show of his own. So maybe we can get him on here talking a little shop about the old Cincinnati Bengals. But I got a response on that same tweet from an account that's pretty well respected in the Bengals community. And so I guess here are the facts, right? The Bengals just extended Trey last year, and he had 2 years left on his contract. They had a two-hour meeting where he wanted another new deal, and they told him they will extend him next year. DJ Reader, with the age and injuries, was a little more expected. The Bengals weren't going to extend him after he had the quad and the knee the prior 2 years. That was a wait and see, and he got hurt again. It's understandable they wanted to get younger, and they did. They got Chris Jenkins out of Michigan in the draft. Looks like a big, strong boy, road grader, bull type deal. And he said this. Now, what I will say is that they could have been more candid with Reader about the situation and their thoughts, but you don't want to give up your hand. Difficult topic when you really think about it. Well, I get not wanting to give up your hand. NFL is really cutthroat business. I've seen it up close and personal. But on the other end of the spectrum, man, I think it should be, and I've never been in the shoes of a GM. I've never been in the shoes of an owner. I feel like if you trust the people working for you, working with you, you don't have to worry about showing your hand. I could be wrong, you know, but it is difficult. I love DJ Reader, and hopefully Chris Jenkins can step in and seamlessly not even skip a beat with our guys up front. But yeah, it's interesting. Trey Hendrickson's obviously still in his prime, I think, and hadn't had a ton of injury trouble. He's had some, and I mean, it's D-line, right? So you're going to get beat up. I understand the physical, negative physical effects of playing football for, you know, a long period of time, or in my case, in college, practicing football. But, you know, all the same, it's a violent sport, especially when you're on defense. It's a car crash almost every play. I used to like playing off the edge, and I wasn't big enough to ever play in college, you know, on the edge. But, you know, it's a lot of handwork, a lot of footwork. When you're playing like Mike linebacker, and you got to fill gaps and stick your nose in there, and you got a big 320-pound guard pulling around ready to take your head off, that's a little different, right? Because you got to stand your ground, stay in that gap. You can't just run away from this guy that's 100 pounds heavier than you, you know. And you got to work to get his hands off of you, hopefully deliver enough impact to where he can't get his hands on you and you get off real quick, try and make a play. But it's violent. It's hard on your body. And so, you know, the lifespan of heavy hitters' careers is not easy. So anyway, well, the lifespan I meant is short. All right, here's the next deal. Odell Beckham Jr., the neighbor, our neighbor, is signing a 1-year deal worth up to $8.25 million with the Dolphins. I think the base is like, I might be wrong. I think the base is like three, and it's 5.25 in incentives. So he's getting late in his career. I think it's a good high upside deal for the Dolphins, and you add a kind of X to Tyreek Hill's Z, right? You put him out there, try to get him on an island a little bit and let him just go up and get those 50-50 balls from Tua and kind of open that game up with screens and other over-the-top threats from Tyreek Hill's speed. So hopefully he remains in his home a couple doors down from us. That'd be pretty damn cool. I've been seeing him a little bit late.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In his Maybach Mercedes. That guy's got a new car every couple weeks in the driveway. So it's been pretty cool to see him and his family kind of act as normal people. I never thought that would be a thing in my life, but it has been, and it's been cool. Next deal. Justin Fields may return kicks for the Steelers, and this is from the horse's mouth. Jaylen Warren, who's a running back, stud running back with the Steelers, said that they have discussed using Justin Fields on special teams, and why the hell not? This guy makes plays with the ball. He's special at making something out of nothing, and you've obviously got your insurance with Russ Wilson at the quarterback spot if he gets hurt. Now, I'm not sure how Justin Fields feels about this. I know there's I don't want to say an ego thing, but kind of an ego thing with quarterbacks where they say, well, I'm a quarterback. I'm playing quarterback. Remember Tim Tebow was off that and didn't really work out for him at the end of the day. You know, he had a big season. I think it was back in 2012, and then it kind of fizzled. But it's like, you know, I can't help but think how many great athletes were quarterbacks were wasted on, well, I don't do that. I play quarterback. No, it's what can I do to help the team? It's about the team. You know, it's me. What about the damn team, huh? What about the team? My high school coach used to say that. He said, I want the ball. I want to play quarterback. What about the damn team? Grumpy old bastard. Loved him, though. So, That'd be cool, man. You know, Justin Fields, be a football guy, get back there, run some kicks back. I'm sure he can make some plays with the ball, brother. So keep an eye on that. Next deal. Ezekiel Elliott is going to go back to the Cowboys pending a physical per Tom Pelissero. Be cool to be an NFL insider, man. Maybe one day, you know, you get a network of agents that are telling you all the gossip, all the tea. It's probably a nasty world, though. Who broke the story first, fighting over it? Probably a lot of politicking. But nonetheless, Zeke's headed back to Dallas. I know that was rumored for a little bit, and that is now real. So here's some contract details that I thought were interesting. In 2024, the Cowboys will pay more from Zeke's last contract than his new contract. So his old contract will pay him $6 million in 2024. His new contract will pay him $3 million in 2024. So that is half. And one scenario that came to mind for me was that Ken Griffey Jr., a Cincinnati Reds legend. I know Seattle people will come at me, but to me, he's a Cincinnati Red. I grew up watching him every single game with my dad when those guys were playing. Adam Dunn. There's a pitcher. Bro, Bronson Arroyo, of course. And then LaRue. There was a pitcher named LaRue. Anyway, Ken Griffey Jr., retired, I think, it is longer than 10 years ago. It's got to be longer than 10 years ago. I can't factually confirm, but I know it's longer than 10 years. The Reds are still paying him this year from his old contract. So old contracts are a thing, and obviously the organizations have to uphold their end. And you forget about like how much these guys might be getting paid from teams they played for in the past, or maybe a trade or a release happened. I need to read up on my contract knowledge in pro sports, because I don't know if a release warrants the contract voiding or not. I know there's provisions in the contract if a guy does this, like if a guy goes skiing, you know, it could void his contract, this and the other, but I want to say they cut him. I don't want to spread fake news, but I want to say they cut him and they're still paying him out. So I might be wrong. All right, next deal. All right, so that's the end of the NFL news, non-football related. I thought this quote was great. Neurohacker, it's a great account on Instagram. Until you make, this is from Carl Jung, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. And the caption says, only in bringing the unconscious to light can we transcend the illusion of fate and shape the narrative of our own existence. I think this goes back to the Secret. Conor McGregor mentioned this book called The Secret. I can't remember who the author is. It's an Australian lady, I think. Her name's like Rhonda. And it's a great read. It's a lot of folks will say it's spiritual, guru, hoo-ha, this, that, and the other. But there's a lot of good stuff in it, and basically the essence of the book, the essence of the program is your thoughts become things. When you think about things, you attract them, right? You might get in a car accident and say, oh, why'd this happen to me? Why'd this happen to me? And don't kill the messenger here, but the book tells you, hey, you probably attracted that, and you're just not conscious of the thoughts that are surfacing because they're unconscious. Right? If they were conscious, you'd know they were there. And those thoughts are powerful. We as human beings, we're like frequency towers on a cell phone network or a TV station. The thoughts we think, conscious or unconscious, right? It's a blessing and a curse, emit to the universe, to God, to whoever's running this whole shebang. Might be a damn computer program. Nonetheless, they become real. They become real. And so we talked about it earlier. Meditation's a really good way of allowing that shit to surface and figuring out, oh, you know, I don't really feel that way. Or the way I feel about this event in my life is not really, the narrative I'm telling myself about is not really accurate. Or it's not really fair to me. And the unconscious mind, I believe, and I don't want to get the statistic wrong, but I saw somewhere it's at least 80% of our behavior is unconscious. Because you think about it, the brain's only got limited resources. We don't have the bandwidth to think through how to make our coffee every morning, to think through how to make our commute to work, and to, okay, get in the car, close the door, put it in reverse, little light on the pedal, you know. And a lot of these learned behaviors just become unconscious and our brain goes on autopilot. So the more we can kind of be present in those little transition moments and allow things to register and be like, ah, damn, I've been doing this way for a long time. I don't know if this is the most efficient way to do it. I'm going to change it. Then it becomes conscious. So the more you can bring the unconscious to the surface, right? Bring that inbox, that mental email inbox as low as possible, then we can kind of start to flow and groove and jive. You know what I mean? I thought that was cool. On to the clips of the week, baby. Go on, get on out of there, dog. Go on, get. Bro, my dad grew up in eastern Kentucky until he was about 6 years old. Harlan County, coal country. As country as you can get. It's basically close to West Virginia. And the reason I show this clip is it reminded me of this story he used to always tell. They had a neighbor when he was a little kid. And mind you, my dad's about damn near 67, 68, and he still remembers this from when he was a kid. But they had a neighbor in Harlan. And every morning, this guy had a bunch of dogs. And he would come out in the morning and let the dogs rip out of the door. And they'd be all excited to get out and run or whatever. And every morning, he'd go, get on out of there, dog! Go on, get! Go on, get on out of there! And so my dad's always been saying that, you know, the dog ain't doing something it's supposed to do. Go on, get on out of there! And, you know, my lady will tell you, I say it too, and it's fire. I'm never going to change. And Mike, if I have a son, he's probably going to say it. So here's the next deal.
I was approached at Jason Aldean's bar in Nashville by the Italian mob.
What?
To fix football games.
I'll be honest, this sounds like a story like that the mafia? I do not need to be a part of.
I went to get drinks, and so I'm alone right now. I'm not with my friend group. He comes up to me.
Wait, he knew who you were?
Yes.
This is already a bad start.
He offered me $300,000.
He offered you $300,000?
He said, for something like this, my, you know, my clients, $250,000 to $300,000 for a game.
The Italian mob offered you $300,000 to do what?
Will you stop saying that?
He said, we regularly
talk
to guys in your position about fixing games. He said he named guys in the SEC who I don't want to say their names because they're in the NFL right now, and that's a bad look.
Bad deal.
It's a bad deal. But University of Alabama, I will tell you that.
Holy crap.
He said almost every game in the SEC is rigged.
Too much for me.
Damn. So I guess this guy played at Vandy, and it's becoming more and more of a story that the Italian mob's running in here and getting these kids to throw games. Or at least they were. I would imagine now that the gambling industry is much more regulated and you have these watchdogs that we've mentioned on the show the last couple of weeks, that this is going to start to go away and the mob's going to start to control less and less, because obviously they've had their hand in the gambling industry for the duration of time, right? And these are powerful people, man. Earned or not earned, it's powerful people, and so they might find a way to keep their hand in all of it, but I would imagine not, the more regulated it becomes. And that's going to be the good side of gambling becoming widespread. I know we've talked about the dark side of it. It's more accessible to people because it's legal and you can just pull it up on your phone and make a bet, but that's weird, man. It's scary. And nobody's known until, you know, this guy broke this news. This guy's the first guy to break this news, and holy crap, man, he might be having some folks in dark trench coats breaking his door down, asking where his family's at. So I hope he stays okay. And if he doesn't, it probably tells you whether the story's true or not. And I imagine it might be, because he's not going to pull this out of his ass. You know what I mean? Next deal.
Let's go. Okay, all my life, man. Like right next to their rifle. I swear with these big shots. My block is big and intact. No way, watch it. No way, folks. See, money talks bullshit. Walk.
On the motherfucking tightrope. I'll help the crowd here, man. Jesus. All night, like porch lights. So, this clip frustrated me, man. That's the GOAT right there. That is the GOAT. And you don't know the lyrics to Rich as Rich at Full? You don't know it? There were people in the comment section saying, I'm 23 and I know the lyrics and all this. Man, I think that album, it's the album with like the red butterfly, came out. When I was in high school, somewhere along there. And man, I know every word to that song. I love that song. Lil Wayne's the GOAT. And it just kind of frustrated me that people in the audience didn't know the lyrics. I think he was performing with someone else. So God forbid I say they were there for someone else. But that was just, it hurt my heart, man. That's the GOAT. He doesn't deserve that. Next deal. Hell yeah.
If you got license, you something.
I mean, I just want to fish, ma'am.
Oh, no, no, hell, you can't fish. You don't know how to fish. You don't even wear the right kind of clothes. You got damn stupid shoes on anyway. Where'd you get them ugly breeches? You ass. Get your ass out of here.
Reminds me of my grandma, bro. You ain't got the right kind of clothes. Oh, hell, you can't fish. Look at your breeches. Look at your breeches. My Cece used to say that to me, bro. She said, look at your britches. Look at your damn britches. And, you know, she probably just didn't want old boy out there fishing. But, you know, old granny has some personality. I guarantee you that's in the damn South somewhere. Oh, hell, you can't fish. You can't. That clip is one I've seen a lot, and it popped up on my timeline recently. So we have these kind of serendipitous moments in the show where we're scrolling Instagram looking for stuff to throw on here. And something from the archives pops back up that kind of clicks in your subconscious and you say, oh yeah, I gotta show that. You know what I mean? Here we go. Next deal for my editor here. So there's literally trackers. There's one on Twitter. I think the account got suspended at one point, of course. Nancy Pelosi stock tracker. And it was tracking, and there's a website you can still go to and track all of the trades made by politicians. And I think Nancy Pelosi, the last couple years, I think last year, again, don't want to spread false information. This is just out of the noggin, but it's a realistic figure. Last year in Nancy Pelosi's portfolio, her investment portfolio, she made 85%. And now you got a hand in, as a congressperson or whatever the hell she is, spokesperson, I don't know. You've got a hand in legislature that affects the way companies do business. And you're telling me that you can trade options? Nancy Pelosi's buying options. So for listeners of the show that aren't familiar, you got one share of stock, right? Let's say I wanted to, you know, go buy a share of XYZ company, right? That's cool. The stock might go up, it might go down, it might stay flat. But if I wanted to increase my leverage, if I wanted to take more risk, I could buy something called an options contract, where It's not the stock anymore, but it's tied to the performance of the XYZ company. And it's a contract to control 100 shares. So you think about the amount. So like, let's say I buy a share for $25, just straight up. And then I buy an options contract. That options contract also trades on a market. It's got a price to it that is dictated by fluctuations in the stock price. So you might say, I want to buy a call. I think the stock's going to go up. If the stock goes up and you're right, you're going to make money on the price of that contract. Let's say I buy a contract for $40 and the stock goes up, and now the contract's worth $60 in the matter of a day. The point being, and I can sell that and make $20. The point being, there's increased volatility, there's increased leverage, and not only is Nancy Pelosi buying stocks that she knows are going to go up because of the decisions she makes on the floor of Congress, she's buying options and leveraging that and doubling down and saying, yeah, you can't do shit about this. I'm a politician. There ain't no insider trading laws with us. It's bullshit. We need to pass legislation that prevents politicians from trading in the stock market. Okay? Or else I'm just going to keep tailing Pelosi. I don't agree with her, but damn, she's got a good portfolio. She knows how to pick them stocks somehow. Fucking ridiculous.
All right. Here they come.
This is interesting.
Meet Homer Simpson.
This is an AI-created video.
The bumbling head of the Simpson family. By his side is Marge, his patient and kind-hearted wife, who holds the family together. Their children include Bart, who is always stirring up chaos, while Lisa, the middle child, shines with intelligence and compassion. And there's
creepy.
Maggie,
creepy eyes.
Baby. From exploring the enigmatic mysteries of the town's wealthiest resident, Mr. Burns, to navigating the vibrant atmosphere of Moe's Tavern, every moment is a unique experience. Also part of this vibrant ensemble is Ned Flanders, the friendly neighbor whose unwavering optimism never fails to brighten the day. Followed by Krusty the Clown,
Dead
the eccentric
brother.
Entertainer who's always ready to put on a show.
Creepy,
and let's
bro.
Not forget Milhouse, Bart's loyal and nerdy best friend. Explore the wacky world of Springfield, a town where the laughter is infectious, and the residents are always ready to welcome you with open arms.
Creepy, bro. That's AI, bro. It's coming along. I don't think it's as far along as people think, but I use AI to cut clips for this show every week. It makes my life better. So shout out to Opus. I ain't no gatekeeper. We spread love and knowledge around here. So, last clip of the week. Pulling on that motherfucking knob, baby. So cheers, boys. This is In the Jar, episode 17. It's hard to believe we've come this far, and we're only going to keep going. So comment, like this video, subscribe. If we hit you in the chest in any form or fashion this week, I've got a double-decker gum pillar, Zimbabwe, in my lip right now, bad. Shout out Freezer Tarps. All right, In the Jar, episode 17. Like, subscribe, comment. Let's get this thing rolling, man. I love making this shit for y'all. And I don't care who shows up every week, but we're going to keep showing up. So love y'all. Let's have a good week this week. See ya.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.